I expected that Ross would be on the call, but I it's not
Ross is here.
Obviously
Ross
yet.
Ross is here.
Ross is shopping on Amazon, but he's here.
Well,
that's all right. I'm reading about Eckersley making it into the Hall of Fame.
So we've got ISP, registrars, and IP.
Yeah, what did we want to, I'm sorry that I didn't look at the agenda, but what were we going to cover today?
I thought what we could talk about, a little bit about the schedule, but I think what we ought to do is maybe Ross can talk about what he's done thus far with the registrars and a little bit about the information he's getting back, the form he's getting it back in, what he'll distribute to the group and what, otherwise what the work product will be from that. Then I thought we could talk a little bit about the survey of the other industries. Sarah Deutsch early on had put together some possibilities that we could survey for other data verification practices, and we have that. Terry Clark put together a list of registrars and CCTLDs, which I mean, I think the registrars will be covered by what Ross is doing, and then the CCTLDs, that's really a separate issue. But I think the issue on the information we need to get from other industries about their data verification processes and how to go about doing that and perhaps drafting a brief questionnaire along those lines. And then we may be able to get information regarding CCTLD, who is practices, from them. And they, early on, we got an email that Glenn had circulated where they indicated that if we had questions we wanted to submit to the CCTLDs, we could do so. And I thought maybe what we could do is put together a short questionnaire that we could send to them that they could include in the survey that they're going to be independently conducting, so that we can get that information back as well. And that we probably would be available in mid-February. And then we can talk a little bit about the schedule and perhaps discuss some assignments and then deal with the MP3 issue if we have enough people on the call to do that. Anything else that people think we should address? Okay. Ross, why don't you talk about what you've been doing thus far with the registrars and a little bit about our email exchange and just by way of background, I guess I was under the impression that we were going to do some kind of survey of the registrars with a formal questionnaire, but corresponded to an email and he indicated that he's essentially contacted the registrars, a group of about 50 of them, and is starting to get back responses about their current practices, if any, about who is data verification. And Ross, why don't you tell us, what you did, the kind of responses you're getting back, and whether or not those responses will be posted to the group, and otherwise the form of what you will provide based on the work you've done thus far.
Sure. And maybe a little bit of background around who the registrars actually are in this context might be useful as well, because it's been a couple times where the word registrars has been brought up, and I think it's used kind of interchangeably with a much larger definition that we don't normally think about as registrars. So there's really two groups of registrars out there. There's in the GNSO context, anyway, or in the sort of the GTLD context, there's the 180 or so accredited registrars, which is literally every single organization that's received or has current blessing from ICANN to sell domain names from the registries. And then there's this much smaller group, roughly a third of that, 50 or 60 or so registrars that are members of the GNSO. when I speak of registrars, I'm really talking about that smaller group of 50 or 60. The other ones, for whatever reasons, have chosen not to involve themselves in policy development, and that's I suppose that's fine. But I really tend to concern myself with the hopes and dreams and wishes of that smaller group of 50 or 60. So when I say registrars, that's really who I'm talking about, is that constituency, that smaller organization. So what I've done so far is to solicit their input to see if there is any proactive verification being done by registrars. The accreditation agreement that registrars operate under doesn't actually require registrars to proactively verify anything related to accuracy. We do have some technical requirements to fulfill. For instance, we shouldn't be sticking full number information in the address field, or sticking registrant information in the the street field, for instance. But that's not really related to accuracy in as much as it's related to data integrity, to make sure that the registries get sufficient information to actually process a registration. So it's unclear whether or not, to any appreciable degree, whether or not registrars are actually doing any data verification up front related to accuracy. So I sent out a question to that effect earlier this week. I believe it was Sunday night. I sent that out to the constituency membership. So that went out to the entire group of 50 or 60. And I've received one or two responses back, basically stating we don't do any GTLD verification. But interestingly, there's some CCTLD verification going on. So I think those, if the responses continue to come back in that vein, they'll shed some light on the what's going on in a country by country basis. And if not, hopefully some information around. Hopefully somebody comes forward with some ideas around what's going on in the GTLD space, but so far nothing. Does that kind of fill you in, Brian? Was there any other questions I missed? Or?
Well, I guess in terms of the information you're getting back, what will you be providing to the group, and in what form? I mean, I guess one of the issues is will we be seeing the responses you're getting back? Are you going to have Glenn or someone else post those to the list, or are you just going to get it back and then provide a written summary of what you received? And what does the task force think about that protocol?
Well, my intention was to share as much as the respondents allowed me to share. So I definitely will be following up with anybody that sends something in. Two cows will be filing one, for instance. I think that's really fair as the representative that I actually set the good example. And I fully intend to make mine public. But if somebody says, you can share a summary of this, or you can share it, but don't associate my name with it, we'll see what they say. So where there are specific responses that I can share, I will. If not, it'll definitely at least be a summary of that data.
Okay.
This is Barbara. I actually think offering people the opportunity to summarize the data without associating their name with it might be a useful encouragement to get people to tell you things.
Right. It's typical practice within our constituency, so it's not a it's not like they're all cowering in fear
Now, in terms of timing, Ross, what's your timeline in terms of getting these responses back?
Well, I've asked for them back no later than close of business Friday next, and I can go back to them and say I made a mistake. I need it quicker, based on your last email. If you actually need the data that quickly.
Well, I guess there's a GNSO call on the 22nd, and to the extent, I mean, first of all, I my sense is from what you said today and in the past, you're not expecting an overwhelming number of responses.
Expecting two more.
Two more, okay. And you have two?
I have one.
You have one. You're...
So I'm counting two cows in the two more.
Oh, okay. So you have one, and you're expecting two more, and that's really all you're going to get?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Yeah. Registrars are sitting back saying, well, we don't do any verification. What is he asking for? And so the likelihood that they're going to write me back and say, we're not doing anything, is pretty slim.
Okay. All right. That's fine. But Okay, so I guess it would be useful to get the results of what you've done maybe by Friday next. Is that possible? Or at least by Monday the 19th.
I can summarize.
It doesn't sound like it's a huge amount of
work. No, not at all.
Yeah, and that way we can at least have it, and we can, you know, to the extent it comes up on the GNSI call, we can report that we've done that and we've received that information, and it sounds like it's going to be fairly summary, and we can at least report that. Robert, what do you think in terms of the timeline? Is that timely enough?
Yeah, I do think that's timely enough. The Task Force 2 has a registrar's questionnaire that they want to send out that they're not even going to probably send until next week, and so to be able to say that we have that part already finished for this task force would be useful, because then there won't be a need to coordinate those activities any further.
Okay, now one question in my mind, and this is more of an ICANN protocol. I mean, I agree with the logic of what you said, Ross, in that, you know, if we send out a formal questionnaire, it's not really going to advance the ball any further than your efforts in polling the constituency. Is everybody comfortable with that, and is that something that's going to be satisfactory to, you know, the GNSO Council in terms of our, you know, data gathering efforts?
Yeah, this is Ken Stubbs. I would say that from a practical standpoint, I think that the most important thing was that there was that we did reach out. They may not necessarily like certain constituencies may not necessarily like what they hear, but I think it's just a fact of life as it is at this point in time that I think the outreach it's almost a foregone conclusion. I mean, after 4 years in the registrar's constituency, it's a fact of life. Registrars do not, as Ross indicated, for GTLDs at least, perform the kind of services that some people would like to see being done, principally because of its combination, as I see it, of economics and the way that the operations are currently managed. So there has to be changes in order to be able to make sense for them to do this. You know, I mean, simple as that.
Okay, all right, Ross. When you do your write up, I mean, I guess to the extent you can kind of lay out what you've told us on the call in terms of, you know, the registrar group you're talking about, the 50 or 60 you polled, what you asked them, the number of responses you got back, and what those indicate, either, you know, specifically identifying the respondents or not, as the case may be, whatever you're authorized to do, I think that would be helpful, and at least we'll be able to provide that information. And everyone will see what was done. And
sure. Did you also want me to include some background in there, sort of as it relates to the current state of requirements and practice and stuff like that, just the sort of thing that Ken was alluding to over the last 4 years?
That would be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
It would really help, because you got to understand that most registrars created models, business models, based on the responsibilities that were attributed to them in the contracts they have with ICANN.
That's right.
And if there's going to be any changes in the scope of responsibilities, that would require, in most cases, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ross, you run the second largest registrar operation. If there's going to be any changes in the scope of responsibilities, there has to be an opportunity for whoever is given that, how do I put it politely, contractual obligation to be able to create a business model that allows them to be viable in performing the services that they're now being asked to perform.
Right, okay. I mean, I understand that, but for our purposes, I mean, I think some background is useful, and I think it's important to go ahead and indicate that there's no contractual requirement and all that. I don't think it should be an advocacy piece for the registrar's position with respect to data accuracy, though. I mean,
you'll get a chance to edit it, Brian. That's okay.
Yeah, okay, okay, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, I think that that makes sense. And obviously, I think the whole group should look at it once we get it.
Absolutely.
My comments weren't meant to be an advocacy. All I'm trying to do is to point out that that is
an economic reality. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. I mean, it sounds like we're going to get the information we effectively or practically can get on that issue, and we should have that in the can within the next couple of weeks. So, if you can get that, Ross, by the 19th or so, that would be helpful. Another day, maybe the Tuesday, the 20th.
No. Like, if it takes me 2 whole days to summarize 3 responses, then I've got worse problems than meeting your 19th deadline.
Okay.
It's
all right. That's fine.
Timing. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we talk a little bit about the survey of the other industries? Terry, are you on the call? Terry's not on the call. Sarah, are you on the call? All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about this. I'd hope that they would be on the call just because. Sarah's done a lot of work in this regard, and Terry had sent around a list of that one of his colleagues compiled, a list of the registrars and CCTLDs, and I think with respect to the second issue, which I'd asked him to focus on, we're really looking for information from other industry sectors. I think that we have some sources that Sarah Deutsch had put together from in her December 17 email, which I think should have been circulated to everyone, which includes looking at IETF standards, the ENOM verification progress, Visa and eBay, et cetera. And my question, I mean, I think this is a much tougher nut to crack in terms of what we should do here. And it would be helpful to get the thoughts of the group as to the number of outside sources we should go to and the manner in which we should try to obtain information from them, whether, you know, I assume it would need to be some kind of brief questionnaire that would outline what we're doing, why we're doing it, and ask them to provide the information. What are people's thoughts on that?
This is something that you want to send to the CCTLDs?
Well, no, that's a separate issue, actually.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to...
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I think that's going to be an easier one. But I'm really looking
so
at...
What you're talking about now is to send to outside industries.
Right.
I can't find Sarah's email.
Pardon me?
Can I? I don't recall that either.
I actually recall seeing a list, but I can't find the email now.
Yeah. It was December 17 that Sarah sent it to either to Terry or to me, and I sent it to Glenn...
Yeah, I think Glenn distributed it.
I sent it to Glenn on December 17 at about 6:18 p.m. Eastern Time. And I think Glenn did distribute it, actually. But the issue is, you know, the second item we're supposed to do is collect publicly available information on the techniques used by other online service provider to verify that data collected is correct. And information offered. That's what I'm talking about. And I guess my sense is, what's the best way to go about doing this in terms of gathering this information? And how many other sources does the task force think we need to go to on that point?
I think we want to at least try to be representative of, I mean, even if we don't try to do something comprehensive, because comprehensive is going to be beyond our ability, to do something representative where we at least attempt to find out, okay, what do some typical financial institutions do, which isn't typical, you know, and pick like maybe three industries that we think are, or five industries that we think are representative of dealing with data that's regarded as verifiable and private, or you know, whatever contours you want to put on that. And you know, maybe with, you know, say we identify five industries, then maybe three within each of those industries. And that's hardly comprehensive, but it might be enough to get, like, a survey of what's out there.
Brian, what are we trying to test with these, with these, with these questions?
I think we were just trying to figure out what people use to verify data.
But
what practices.
But in the, but in terms of policy, what does that matter?
Well, you know, one of the things we're tasked with is to create a best practices document for improving data verification based on information collected that can be applied on a global basis. I'm reading right from the, you know, the list of tasks and milestones. And I guess the purpose in going to other online service providers is to see what do they do, you know, what's involved with what they do, and then I guess to determine whether or not their practices could be applied to the ICANN context.
But you know, I hadn't seen the questions yet, so maybe I should reserve this for later, but I'd really caution, you know, we ran into this several times in the past with different task forces, to caution against looking at how things are done and really focus on what's being done. And if that's what we're looking for, then great, I'm a fan of that.
Well, I think that's, right. I think that's what it says. Look at publicly available information on the techniques used by other online service providers. I mean, I think that maybe that's what and how. But I think that, you know, to the extent that we can gather the information, that's sort of the first order of business.
Okay. But you answered the question, which is what we're trying to achieve, and that's very helpful. I don't have the TOR in front of me, so thanks.
Yeah, that's what it is that ultimately we have to make recommendations about moving forward with some kind of, either with some kind of data, with some kind of data verification practice, or recommend that it not be done because it's too burdensome, or whatever the conclusion is.
Great.
Okay. Maybe the thing to do is, why don't we talk a little bit about the industries we might go to? I mean, we have, Sarah identified the IETF working group.
Actually, I've done a survey of the, as I promised, of the best current practices of the IETF and what they recommend, which is virtually nothing. Chuckles from
Barbara.
You were
afraid of that, yeah.
It's only mentioned twice, actually. It's mentioned in RFC 2050, which Barbara knows and loves, guidelines for the address registries, and it's mentioned in another document about ISPs, recommendations for ISP securities, which opines that ISPs have a duty to make sure that their contact information is accurate, and leaves it at that. So nothing is spelled out as to how these things are to be done.
How unfortunate.
Okay, maybe what Sarah is referring to is an IETF working group where it has a requirement that for ISPs, initial contact may involve the consumer. Maybe we should take a look at that email that she circulated.
I'd appreciate it if you would repost that. I haven't been able to find it.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff I have for December 17th, but that's not one of them.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I'll send that out to Glenn, and we can repost that and take a look at that. But I think we need to start getting a. Why don't we do this? Why don't we? I'll contact Sarah and see if I can get her to assist with this. But I think we need another volunteer to. I kind of like Barbara's suggestion about the five industries and a few companies within those five industries and to proceed along those lines. Can we get somebody else to help with that? Pardon me? I'm sorry. Can we get somebody to assist with that?
What you're hearing is a resounding silence. So, I guess why don't I'm not going to volunteer for this just because there's already a lot of stuff on the staff manager's plate that has to get done within between now and a couple of weeks. So I don't want to overburden myself with getting that, you know, with adding that to it. Perhaps, though, if a couple of people would take on the task of identifying the five industries and a few players within them, then I might be able to get some assistance in looking at their web pages and what practices they seem to have on the web pages and things like that.
Right.
But I think having people actually they contact these people, that should be done by a participant in the task force. Or multiple participants in the task force.
Right. And in terms of, let's talk a little bit about how to do that. What do people think makes the most sense? I mean, what do you all think about that?
Sounds like a useful approach.
Yeah, to me it makes sense.
Okay. And in terms of how to go about it, just individual contacts from task force members to particular companies within the industries.
Well, yeah, that works generally works the best. But what works sometimes even better is if we can identify the specific industry and find out if it is currently a member of a constituency, to have the constituency rep to the task force contact that person. You know, I think, frankly, Sarah and Marilyn have a better chance of getting cooperation from business constituency members than possibly some of members of the other constituencies, just because they can impress on them the importance of getting that information towards accomplishing the goals that the specific constituency is trying to accomplish in their work in the task force.
Right. I agree with that. But I also think that there's some ways in which individuals can have, you know, exploit the relationships they already have with their current partners, vendors, whatever. And I mean, like, I'm thinking if we identify, say, the cell phone industry as one industry we want to see, is, you know, how they do data verification for people who sign up on things via their website, you know, their web pages. You could just call your cell phone rep for your company and say, look, we're looking into this. Can you tell me, you know, what you guys do? What's your practice? What, you know, and if they don't want to be identified by name, then, you know, as a spokesperson for their company, that might be okay. And, you know, but I think that we're not pretending to do something comprehensive here, and we're not pretending to do something with that degree of rigor that I think people would complain if what we got back was more anecdotal than, you know, than scientific.
Yeah, I agree with you, Barbara. The only thing I would be concerned about is that we need to be very careful that as we look at specific industries, and I use the cell phone industry as an example. In the United States, there is an increasing trend towards the use of prepaid services. And in many cases, there is an entirely different vetting process for a prepaid services. Much of the authentication and verification work that's being done in the cell phone business nowadays is designed to ensure collectability on obligations, whereas in the case of prepaid cell phone services, there is less of an incentive for requiring the accuracy in collecting information. So I think it's important for us to make sure that we don't leave open situations that lend itself, that lend to the process to criticism because it wasn't inclusive enough. So that's the reason why I meant.
I think that's actually an excellent point, because the other thing is we don't want to be, parochial about it. We don't want to just look at institutions in the United States. We want to see what people are doing in other countries. And I actually think the question of looking at prepaid services is an excellent idea, because that's essentially what a registration is. It's a prepaid service for 1 year to 10 years, and there are not a lot of incentives to update information once you've given it. So I think looking at something like prepaid phone cards might be an excellent way of getting something that's a relatively good comparison to the registration market.
Well, I think let me give you an example to point out the point I'm trying to make here. I've been using prepaid cell phone cards now for about 6 years, and I have chips from about 15 or 20 different countries,
mm-hmm.
so I have a good experience. 3 years ago, it was almost impossible to get a prepaid card in Germany without jumping through all sorts of hoops. I mean, literally, you had to bring your passport in. I mean, the whole bit. Now, because of competitive pressures in the industry, you can get a prepaid cell phone card it's incredibly easy
mm-hmm.
to get a card now. And so as a result, the legitimacy of the data that was collected 3 years ago is much more is much higher than the legitimacy of the information that's currently being collected with prepaid telephone number sales. So I guess from a practical standpoint, we have to look at how market pressures and business models affect the desire of the various industries to do what some people feel is necessary, whether it's the government or specific sectors. This is a perfect example of what I'm talking about.
Right. So what would you suggest as a way to make sure that we're capturing some of that?
Well, what I'm not talking about is an advocacy here. What I'm talking about is reality in many cases. And I think we need to point out that if there are perceived changes that need to be made as a result of concerns expressed by governments, concerns expressed by legitimate business, intellectual property interests, whatever it may be, we need to, there's different approaches that people have taken over the last 2 years working on Who Is. I've seen situations where one specific sector takes the position that what we're only asking for is what we expected at the very beginning of this process, and the other side says, on the contrary, if that's what you expected, it wasn't made clear to us when we first got started. So I think we need to point out where we're coming from, and maybe it's difficult to look at various industries, and I only use the cell phone industry because it is a good analogy in many ways. How do we solve and how do we resolve the problems? Because to be honest with you, in the cell phone industry, prepaid cards are a serious problem for law enforcement, because what's happening now is a lot of people, and even in the case of terrorism, a lot of people are using prepaid cellular accounts to avoid traceability. Is that not, in fact, maybe what's happening in some cases with spamming and illegal activities on the Internet? They're changing not only IP addresses, but URLs daily on a lot of the spamming. So, how do the other areas deal with this? That's all.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I guess we could look at the telecommunications industry. That would be one, and the cell phone companies in particular. Perhaps we could also look at banking, financial services, some of the online retailers like Amazon, auction sites like eBay. And Sarah's email, which I'll send to Glenn again so that everyone can take a look at that. She also mentions the United Nations Center for Trade Facilitation Electronic Business. I don't know what, if any, relevant information they'll have, but that may be worth a peek. And
hi,
then,
Sarah Deutsch joining.
Oh, hey, Sarah. How you doing?
Good.
We're talking about the this issue of looking at other industries and their data verification practices. And I think the idea was that what we're going to try to do is identify five industries and maybe three companies or entities within those, each of those five, and then have task force members personally contact these companies to gather information on their data verification practices. I'm going to recirculate your December 17 email, which I believe went out once before, but we're going to go ahead and resend that out. And then maybe what we could do is get somebody to put together a short questionnaire that would be an initial guideline as to precisely the kind of information we're seeking that we could use in speaking with the individual companies. You think you'd be in a position to do that, Sarah?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Why don't you do that, and I'll work with you and with Terry in coming up with the industries we should contact and the companies within those industries. I don't think that's going to be too burdensome. Based on this conversation, maybe we could look at telecom, banking, financial services, you know, online retailers and auction sites like eBay and Amazon, and then some of the other sources that you identified in your email. Are there any other industries that people that come to mind that we could add to the list now? Anybody have any thoughts on that? Okay. Well, why don't we do this, Sarah? If you think you could put together a simple questionnaire and circulate that to the list, how long do you think that would take?
Well, what do you want in the questionnaire?
Well, you know, I think the issue is, what are we going to be asking these other companies for in terms of their data verification practices? I mean, I guess what we'd want to know is generally what they do. Some of the costs associated with that, whether they
probably
use...
Probably want to know at what stage of the transaction they do the data verification. Like, do they do it when the person does a financial transaction? Do they do it at some other stage?
Yeah, and we probably want to know what they do if they find out after the fact that there's been inaccurate data.
Right.
Right. What published materials, publicly available, you know, non-proprietary materials do they have that deal with that we could take a look at? You know, maybe the costs associated with what they do. Any automated processes. Presumably they would use automated processes software for this purpose. And maybe we should find out what they do in that regard. Those kinds of questions, and I think if you can get something together quickly and circulate it, we can all comment on it, and then we'll have that sort of as a template for when we ultimately contact these companies. Why don't I look at the I'll spend a little bit of time and come up with five industries and some companies within those industries, in addition to the ones you've already identified in your email, Sarah, and then I'll try to get that circulated by Friday. I'll get that to Glenn, and then Glenn can send that around to everybody so that we'll have that. And then next week we can try to finalize the questionnaire and then task people with contacting these particular industries and getting that information together. Does that make sense to everybody?
That sounds like a good timeline to me.
No, I'm still not clear on how we communicate with each other. We don't have like an official kind of list up. We have to post something to a third party who then gets it to us.
No, there is.
Excuse me, can I come in there? There is a list up. And the posting that has been referred to that Sarah made was done on the 18th of December.
Oh, okay, good.
On the official list, and it is under proposed schedule for work on WHO is Task Force 3.
Oh.
So if you pull up the list, which you get on the GNSO website,
mm-hmm.
in the archives, you will find it there.
Great.
Okay.
And everybody that is on the task force is subscribed to the list, so you can, the list is open for all subscribers.
Okay, why don't we do that then? That'll facilitate things. And so on this second issue, Sarah, if you could do a draft of the questionnaire.
Sure.
I'll do the five industries and the companies within each. And I'm also going to follow up on some of your other suggestions in the December 17 email on, for example, the UN and U.S. Patriot Act and see what we can get there. And maybe we can get those posted by Friday. And then on next Wednesday's call, we can finalize the questionnaire and proceed with tasking people with gathering the information. And I'll also just, I'll involve the IPC and see what information, what assistance we can get there in terms of gathering this information, and perhaps the other members of the other constituencies can do the same, because it may greatly facilitate us getting this information together and then, you know, being in a position to analyze it a little more quickly. So why don't we shoot for that? We'll do those two things by Friday. Boss has indicated that he's going to get his summary of his contacts with the registrars circulated by, I think, Monday the
19th.
The 19th. And so, you know, in terms of the first two components of our task, we'll have the information on the registrars, and we'll then be in a position to take the next steps with respect to the other industries that we're going to look at. The other issue that I thought we could talk about is gathering information from the CCTLDs. Early on, I think, Glenn, you sent me an email from Elizabeth Portenuve.
Yes.
She indicated that there's going to be a survey of these and that we could submit questions to them. My sense is we still may have time to get that done. They're going to start their survey in about, I think, a week from Friday. January 16 was the date she stated. Maybe we could come up with a set of questions that could be submitted to the CCTLDs as part of that survey, and get that information together. I wonder, maybe what we could do is, would somebody volunteer to put that set of questions together? Then I'll jump at one. there may be some overlap with what Sarah's doing, and maybe what we could do is take Sarah's questionnaire that we get Friday, look at that, and try to get something together before Wednesday's call, and if everyone's happy with that, we can then send that out to Elizabeth.
There's the Task Force 2 wants to send a questionnaire to the CCTLDs as well, and it may be worthwhile to coordinate your survey with their survey so that
have they sent a questionnaire yet, or are they in the process?
No, they're in the process of putting it together.
Okay. Do you know, Barbara, when they're going to have that together?
I think they're aiming for next week, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe what we can do is, at that, if it's appropriate, if you could send that to us, well,
oh, certainly.
You know, maybe clear with Task Force 2.
List so that, you know, you can see it. regardless, but I'll make sure that that all the task forces get a copy of what gets sent out.
Okay, great. All right, so then we'll put the CCTLD questionnaire on hold until after Friday, and then maybe we can look at that over the weekend and try to get something together before Wednesday's call. And why don't we handle that way? Is there anything else that we need to talk about today?
We're going to talk about the MP3s.
Right. Okay. I guess the issue is then what we want to do with those, whether we want to preserve them or whether we want to discard them. Is that ultimately it?
Yeah, it was ultimately, do you want to, there were three questions, I guess. Do you want to preserve them? And if you want to preserve them, do you want to make them public, like post them somewhere? And if you don't want to preserve them, you know, then the answer is they just get destroyed.
What are people's thoughts about that?
You know, from my perspective, Brian, I think we have an obligation to transparency and displays to that, and therefore we should probably keep them and publish the links to them.
Any other thoughts on that?
It occurs to me that you probably want to do like get everybody to affirm one way or the other through maybe through the mailing list that they accept that. You know, like because we haven't been able to get everybody on the call for a few weeks.
Right.
Just maybe send a message out to everybody on the mailing list and say, you know, this is the suggestion, and you know, can you please affirm that you agree with it, or explain why you don't, or.
You know, I hate to be cranky about this, Barbara, but if people aren't here, I don't want to keep delaying decisions if they're not going to be here to participate. You know, God forbid we try and do anything with a serious question, but it's been 4 weeks, 5 weeks now that we've been dealing with this little thing.
Yeah.
I think we should just make a decision either way. You know, I don't think there's necessarily a wrong answer here either. So, you know, Brian, you're the chair, but, you know, that's my crotchety view of things.
Yeah, no, I understand. That makes sense. You know, I don't know. Is this something that we could, Glenn, could you put together a quick ballot that we just, you know, send around for people to just cast a vote via email, whether or not, you know, for the task force reps to cast a vote? You know, A, do we want to retain the MP3 recordings of the task force calls, and B, you know, yes or no, and then B, if yes, do we want to publish them? And then that way we can get everyone, you know, make sure that everyone at least has had an opportunity to weigh in, and if they don't do it by the next call, then we're done with the issue. Is that feasible?
That's feasible. I'll send that around. Do you want me to make the public vote? I do a vote ballot and that sort of thing, or should I just do it by email informally?
I guess I'm comfortable either way. I mean, I guess, you know, maybe some people would want it to be private. Maybe you could just do it by email and then tabulate it that way. I mean,
okay.
My sense is people are going to say keep them and publish them, but
they can send back their results to me.
Okay.
Okay, and just to this task force or to all of them?
My concern is with this task force, but I don't know what the other task forces are doing.
Glenn, maybe you could contact the chairs of the other two task forces.
Okay, I'll do that.
Let them know that we're doing this for this one, and it's a good idea, and
okay.
I'll do it for theirs. And
I'll do that.
Encourage them, you know.
All right, sounds good. So unless anybody has anything else, I think that'll do it for today. And just to reiterate, Ross is going to have his registrar's report by the 19th. Sarah's going to do the questionnaire by Friday. I'll do the five industries and the three companies within each by Friday and circulate that or post it to the list. And then, you know, we'll talk again this time next Wednesday.
Sounds good.
All righty.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brian.
Bye.